Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverins. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the hour, Tuesday, September 25th, 2018. This is the hour that we're blessed to have Father Rocky with us, Father Francis Hoffman, a priest of Opus Dei, our Relevant Radio Executive Director. We're ready to answer your questions of faith. 888-914-9149. If you would like to speak with Father Rocky right now, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. And as we do at the beginning of every hour of every day here on Morning Air, we offer the day to the Lord. We invite you to join us now for the morning offering in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we offer you our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Rocky, good morning. Welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be with you, John. And, of course, I'm in a good mood because the Cubs are in first place, and so are the Bears. How about that?
Yes, it's been an exceptional time for both the Bears and the Cubs. Cubs going to the World Series this year? What's your prediction?
I hope so. You know, maybe they'll even knock off the Boston Red Sox. A couple weeks ago, people said to me, Father, what did you think about the Bears-Packer game? I said, well, I went to bed on Sunday night when the Bears were up 20-0 at the end of the third quarter. I said, finally, you know, the great season has arrived. But I woke up in the morning to find out the Packers had defeated them by 1 point late in the fourth quarter. But anyway, always exciting. Hey, but coming up this Saturday, the 29th of September, is the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel. Mm-hmm. And before the revision of the liturgy, there were actually 3 days in the year when we had feast days of the three archangels who are specifically named in the sacred scriptures. St. Michael was on the 29th of September, and St. Gabriel was on the 24th of March, because that's the day before the Annunciation, and St. Gabriel is one of the key actors in that. And then October 24th was the Feast of St. Raphael. But now all three are honored on the Feast of St. Michael this Saturday. And the names of these archangels are actually mentioned in the sacred scriptures. St. Raphael is mentioned in the Old Testament in the book of Tobias, or Tobit. And St. Gabriel is mentioned, of course, in Luke's gospel, both with respect to St. Joseph and to Our Lady and Zechariah and Elizabeth. And then Michael is mentioned in the book of Revelation. And what's fascinating here is only actually in recent times did we have the development of the prayer to St. Michael. And many people know it. We pray it every day after Mass at Relevant Radio. And now in more and more dioceses, they're praying it after Mass every day, like the diocese of your diocese, I think, Bridgeport.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. And in our parish, we've prayed it for years after every Mass. Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, well, it's not so widespread yet, but it's becoming more and more widespread.
Right.
I think it's in the diocese of Peoria. But it's actually a rather recent prayer. It was composed, as far as we can tell, by Pope Leo XIII, in the year 1886 or so, and for close to 80 years, it was a sort of a mandatory part of the Mass, the Latin Mass, after Mass. It was for the low Mass to recite the prayer to St. Michael from 1886 to 1964, which was a watershed year not only in the Church but in the world. And I always remember it was 1964 was the last year quarters and dimes were made totally out of silver. Do you remember that?
That's right. Yeah.
All right. That was the last year. A lot of things changed in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for our listeners who may not know the prayer to St. Michael, you can get it on our app. So I always recommend that to people. And originally, Leo XIII, his intention was that people prayed a prayer to St. Michael so that the Vatican, the Holy See, might have the freedom to conduct its affairs. A little bit of church history here. In the 19th century, as Italy consolidated its territory, much of the land and property, which were known as the Papal States, were taken away from the church, and the Pope became, quote-unquote, a prisoner in the Vatican. And so Leo the 13th said, we need to pray this prayer so that the Holy See can conduct its affairs with the freedom necessary to carry on the mission of Christ. Then in 1929, I know this sounds like ancient history to a lot of our listeners, but we had a breakthrough between Italy and the Holy See, and it was called the Lateran Treaty, in which the Vatican finally was able to protect its freedom of affairs and have extraterritorial privileges and diplomatic immunity and things of this sort. And then the Pope at that time, Pius XI, changed the intention of the prayer to St. Michael from for the freedom of the Vatican to conduct its affairs to the freedom of the Catholics in Russia to practice their faith. And often that's been summarized or modified to say, we pray the prayer to St. Michael for the conversion of Russia. I mean, that's true, but it was something more specific so that they might have the freedom to practice their faith. And we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 7, that a great battle broke out in heaven. And it was Satan and his minions, and he battled with St. Michael. And finally, St. Michael was triumphant. What's really interesting here is with the reform of the liturgy of the Second Vatican Council, it was no longer mandatory to pray the prayer to St. Michael after Mass. And so it fell into disuse on a widespread basis. But little by little, it's being recovered. It's not that it's mandatory, it's optional, although the bishop in his own diocese can make it mandatory. And what's interesting here is it was John Paul II in 1994, April 24th, 1994, when he recommended that people continue to pray the prayer to St. Michael. Now, the reason that date is interesting, that's 5 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall. Right, so 5 years after the freedom of the faith in the former Soviet countries. So what was on the mind of John Paul, St. John Paul at that moment, I think, was not so much the conversion of Russia and for the freedom of the faith in these four former communist areas, but what was going on in the world at that time. 1994 was that watershed year of the Cairo Conference and the Beijing Conference from the United Nations, where the whole fate of the family, marriage between a man and a woman, children, the right to life, and the threat of abortion, all of that was in hot contention. And the Pope himself had some injuries at that time and had some illnesses, and he would muse in public, why now? Why these sufferings now? And he associated it with, well, the attacks of the devil on the church, the attacks of the devil on life, the attacks of the devil on marriage. And so today, when we pray that prayer to St. Michael, we are praying to the prayer to St. Michael to help us fight against the great wiles of the enemy, mostly which is error and confusion. And, you know, I think it's a very simple prayer. It goes like this: St. Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle. Right. So an archangel is close to God. They stand against prayer. Defend us in battle. Well, what's the battle? The battle for most of us wages inside of us. It's the battle against the effects of original sin. We name them as seven, the seven capital sins: pride and lust and envy and anger and gluttony and avarice and sloth. Those are the seven capital sins, and we always have this daily battle. We're asking St. Michael to help us be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. And the devil hates it when you mention him, because he'd like to make you think that he doesn't really exist. And so we say it straight out like that: be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. What are the snares of the devil? It begins with lying. That's the very first sin ever recorded in history. When the devil came into the Garden of Eden and told Eve, you won't die if you eat that fruit. Well, that was a big fat lie. Ever since that time, we've been lying. And whenever you see lies, when you get exposed to lies, you know the existence of lies, somehow Satan's up to his old tricks, right? Those are the snares of the devil. Another snare of the devil is to make people despair by accusing them, saying, you're not good enough, you can't do it, you can never get redemption, you can never be forgiven, you're worthless, right? That happens many times in our relationships. And then we ask St. Michael to pray to God, may God rebuke him, we humbly pray, because only God can really defeat the devil. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, right, so the host, that's a specific word in religious language or in liturgy. The host are all of the angels in heaven. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. And we think, gosh, it's really scary out there. If I go out there, these demons are lurking after me. You know, where are they? Well, they could be inside of us. They can be around us. It could be the world, the flesh, and the devil. The point here is to humbly acknowledge that we can't do it on our own, and we ask God to help us. So that's a great prayer. I want to encourage our listeners to pray it every day. If you don't know it, go to our app, the Realm Radio app. Some people say it's the best app in the world. I wouldn't want to brag that way, but I think it's very, very good. And you can find it there. And then a couple of days later is coming up the Feast of the Guardian Angels on October 2nd.
Week from today.
Yeah. And very simple prayer, but very powerful, that I encourage everyone to learn, teach their children, teach their grandchildren, pray it every day. And because the guardian angels can help us in material ways, in spiritual ways. They can protect us from danger. They can almost make time expand, and the prayer goes very easily like this. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side to watch, to guard, to rule, and guide. So we pray that prayer daily for protection. And then there's always this ongoing discussion. Can you name your guardian angel? And you'll hear some voices on Relevant say, no, of course you can't, because you don't have dominion over angels. Okay, well, I accept that point. But you can find out the name of your angel by asking them their name. It's not that you name them. It's you ask them their name. Hey, what's your name, guardian angel? And the first name that pops into your head is your guardian angel's name. And you can call your guardian angel by that name. Why do angels have names? Because angels are persons. Now, they have a greater intellect and a greater will and greater power than us. But their job is to help us to get to heaven, and some human beings wind up in heaven higher than the angels. And I think this was what originally caused Lucifer or Satan to rebel against God, because he saw in God's plan that two human natures would be above his nature. One, Mary, is queen of angels and saints, and the other, Jesus, who is perfect God and perfect man. And it offended his pride, and he rebelled. And so I would encourage people to have that trusting devotion to their angels. Now, here's an interesting thing. John, do you know how many archangels there are? Have you ever heard?
There are seven.
All right. There are seven. You know where we get that number? We get it from the Old Testament, the book of Tobit, which we see Raphael is leading Tobias on this journey. And at the end of the journey, he reveals himself. He says, I am Raphael, one of the seven who stand before the throne of God. That's the only reference in sacred scripture to the number seven. So it's got everybody scratching their heads. Well, who are they? Who are those seven? Well, we know one's name, Michael. All right, that's in the book of Revelation. We know another, Raphael from the Old Testament. Yeah. We know a third, Gabriel from the New Testament. We have a fourth name named Ariel, not the mermaid, but the archangel, sometimes referred to as Uriel, U-R-I-E-L, who is referred to in apocryphal writings and also as part of the oral tradition of the church. And then there's wide discussion about the names of the other three. I mean, there are a number have been posed by apocryphal writings or deuterocanonical writings, things which are not part of the core of sacred scripture. But all of them, their name ends with E-L, which is Hebrew for God. So Michael means who is like God. Raphael means God has helped or God has healed. And Gabriel means God is my strength. And Ariel means Lion of God. So they have names. And it's good for us to call upon them. So that's what's coming up in these days in terms of the angels. And I know they can help us in big ways. They can help in history, that can help in our own personal life, and I encourage people to know those prayers and pray those prayers.